Good evening and welcome to Sports Ultras Live on TFM 92.7. With me, Eric Wampofo. It's another Sunday, and you know how we do it here on Sports Ultras. We take a look back at what has been quite an eventful week in football and then other sports. We'll be touching on the Ghana Premier League, a lot of action taking place this weekend. Kumasi Asante Kotoko looks set to have returned to their best ways as they go top of the Ghana Premier League table after their win over Accra Lions. We'll be discussing that and many other games, including Heart of Oak, as their fans are still very frustrated with Abubakar Ouattara. They are not losing this time, but they're just not winning. And it looks as if they are going on a streak without scoring another goalless draw against Ijeana, who were reduced to 10 men with about some 12-15 minutes left to play at the University of Ghana Sports Stadium. We would also talk about the Black Stars. They are getting ready for a very, very important weekend in Otuado's tenure as they face Sudan twice in the 2025 Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers. Given that they failed to win a game against Niger and Angola in the last international window, it's imperative that the four-time Africa Cup of Nations champions pick up maximum results. But can they do so? I'll be looking at the squad list with the panel, which I'll be introducing much later ahead of that double header against Sudan. And then we'll look at the leagues across with regards to the English Premier League, the Bundesliga, League R. Andre Ayew is back. We'll also be looking at what that means for him, the Black Stars, and then his personal ambitions as well. Mohamed Kudus returning on the score sheet for West Ham. And then we'll look at Barcelona, Real Madrid in La Liga. So it's a packed show for you. You do want to stay with us in the next hour also. So welcome back to the show. Your name is Eric Wampofo, and I would not be on this show alone in the next hour. You'll be hearing a lot more from our panelists here on 3 Sports, and we have some few guests as well. Bill is a regular panelist here. Billishan, how was your weekend considering everything that's happened so far?
Yeah, my team is winning. Black Star squad is out. It's a great weekend. You see, we are still unbeaten in all competitions. We are looking strong. Havertz is scoring. Yeah, 65 million down the drain. Kai Havertz scores again. It's just a lovely, lovely week for me and for Arsenal fans in general. Yeah, Abi, you know, it's your club.
We
took him from your club.
Every September, October.
Energy will last.
And Ofifi Forsen, similar energy. Barcelona high flying, eh?
If Arsenal fans are happy.
But having lost too, you've lost again.
It doesn't matter.
Ah, okay.
I'm lonely at the top. You are third. So if someone who is third is happy, brother, I'm very, very excited. Hansi Flick, God bless you wherever he is.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Yeah. And then I do have Augustine, who's becoming a much more regular voice here on Sports Ultras. Augustine, how's your weekend? How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Fifi mentioned being lonely at the top, so I think I'll come to Ghana and I can see myself also lonely at the top. So yes.
Asante Kotoko.
Yes, please.
Hey.
I don't know.
But you are at the same points with BBN.
But I'm still on top.
You know, it's not lonely. It's close at the top.
I think it's alphabetically, that's why you are at the top or something.
Yeah, same goal scored. Same goals conceded.
You
played. It's alphabetical.
Yes.
You've played five matches.
This guy,
you scored just five goals.
The Ghana Premier League is not just five. Scoring a goal in GPL is hard.
Five goals in five matches. And you
and
you.
And I'm still only at the top. And I'm going to be there.
But Kotoko have been very efficient this time.
Five matches, 11 points.
11 points. Five goals.
Out of a possible 15.
Oh, no,
the most competitive league in the world.
It's no good.
GPL. If Kotoko should lose two matches, they'll go to relegation. That's the league is very, very close.
Very, very competitive.
It's extremely close. We'll come back to the Ghana Premier League. But just to confirm, Kotoko are top with Bibiani Gold Stars, both on 11 points. Both have won 3 games, drawn 2, lost none, scored 5 each, conceded 2 each, goal difference 3. And so, yeah, the only reason is because Kotoko starts with Asante.
Yeah.
So that's like,
yeah. And then Bibiani.
Yeah.
B.
So
what will happen if the league ends today?
Then Bibienu will change her name to Antoine Bibienu. They would have gone top. But let's start with the Black Star squad. We'll come to the Ghana Premier League match later. For the benefit of our listeners, let me just go through our squad again, in case you missed out or you don't remember. There's Lawrence Atizigi, Joseph Wollacott, Frederick Asare, Tariq Lamte, Kingsley Shenla, Alexander Jiku Abdul-Mumen, Mohamed Salisu, John Wopoku, Ali Diseidu, Gideon Mensah, and then there's Isaac Afo, who is receiving his debut call-up. There's Thomas Partey, Ibrahim Suleimana, Majid Ashimeri, Laisha Usu, Mohamed Kudus, Ibrahim Osman, Enes Nyama, Fatou Issahaku, Antoine Semenyo, Jordan Ayew, Joseph Pinto, Brandon Thomas Asante, and then Inaki Williams. Efsin, what do you make of the squad? Are you confident, first off, that this is the best team that we have available at the moment?
Yeah, for me personally, I just think this is the best available for Otuadu to assemble. If you look at the squad, maybe the only inclusion I would have made is bringing in Michael Bedu, who has been excellent, I think, in Europe this season, justified by his recent exploits in the Europa League when he scored against AS Roma. I think he's the only addition I would add to the squad just for the fact that he's playing very well. But for the defense, is fine. What's the guy's name? The Rayo guy. Moomin is in top form. He recently won the goal of the month in La Liga. And fortunately for us, there's Alexander Jiku back. So the goalkeeping department, we all know Lawrence Atizigi is going to be first choice. Frederick Asare hasn't been in goal a lot of times this season because I think the second choice has been consistent since he took over. And Juju Wollacott, we hardly hear of him these days. Don't know how he's faring wherever he is. So I just think is the best available squad for Otuadu. Just a few things. And for me, if you look at the squad, there's a new addition also, Isaac Afo. Is Isaac Afo's inclusion going to be like what we've seen in the previous times? Because I think we got introduced
to
some local players who never made an appearance. Most recently, I think Hamidou Fatao from Medeama. He was a consistent feature in the collapse, but we didn't see him feature. And also, Jonas Adjete was brought in to replace Alexander Jiku in the last collapse. And Otto explained that he had been consistent. Of course, playing at FC Basel, being consistent there. So I was expecting him to get another chance, although he didn't play in the last qualifiers, either of the games against Angola and Niger. I was expecting him to be in the squad, but the fact that he's out of the squad means I don't think Otto has a future for him in this project. So let's see. It's early days yet, but
I think it's similar to Nathaniel J too.
It's surprising also because Nat has been at Lorient and is playing consistently weekly, week out, and I think he's impressed a couple of times. But I don't know, since he was caught up for the first time in, I think, the friendly games against Nigeria and Uganda, for the friendly games in Morocco, and he did not show up because of an injury. He hasn't been given a second chance also. So let's see. It's still early days, but Oreku, these two games are very important. I think people tend to underestimate that. People think it's just Sudan, but no. You have to look at the fact that the Black Stars are not playing really well. Forget about what happened in the games against Mali and Central African Republic. In both games, we conceded, meaning the defense of the Black Stars is not really solid. It's not rock solid. And during the presser this week, Otuadu was asked about his defensive issues. Black Stars have conceded late goals in their last four games, and it's a worry. So I just hope they find a solution. Thankfully, the game is going to be in Accra, because anytime the players are invited, they all land in Accra, and some land as late as Tuesday, and they have to do a transit from Accra to Kumasi, or add up to the fatigue, and you see the Blasters playing in Kumasi and they fail to put up their best, evidenced by the game against Angola. So I just it's really a good thing that the game is in Accra and it's on Thursday. So let's say even if the last player arrives on Tuesday, he still has some 24 or so hours to rest, train, and get in shape for the game. So for me, I think this is a good squad. We shouldn't underestimate Sudan. Sudan's league is not in session at the moment, but they are big clubs. Almeric and Al Hilal, interestingly, are playing in the Mauritanian league. Yeah, it tells you that they are taking things very seriously. Yeah. So we shouldn't underestimate them. They have a former Ghanaian coach in there, Kwesi Appiah, who knows the Blasters really well. And Kwesi Appiah, I think he has a point to prove. He feels this is a chance to just tell Ghanaians, okay, I'm the best Ghanaian coach available. If you insist on going with a Ghanaian coach, you have to give me a shout. You have to give me a chance to come back to prove myself, maybe a test thing. So I think he has a lot to prove in these two games. And Oregu, you have to be very honest. If Kwesi Appiah manages to win these two games, whatever he did in the past with the Blasters, these two wins will be more than whatever he did in the Blasters. And when the job becomes available again, we will have no option than to consider him.
Otuadu Kwesi Appiah, who is the better coach?
Charlie. I'll pass. I beg you. I'll pass.
Otuadu Kwesi Appiah, who is the better coach?
Man. I have to be safe. I'll pass.
Why are you all passing? The answer is obvious. Oh?
Tiki-taka ball.
Otuadu, if you had a team in Africa, African country, okay. You have a job. Use Kwesi Appiah.
Oh, yeah. For experience,
Kwesi Appiah. He's more experienced.
So you should have been more specific with the question. You try to be specific with your guest.
But Kwesi Appiah's best match against Germany was Otuadu masterminded.
But who was on the touchline?
That's all.
Otuadu sat there for about 48 hours. Putting together a folder on how to stop
Germany. When Otto had a chance on the third line, what did he do?
He didn't have someone to do the research. But speaking of Kwesi Appiah, Otto has huge respect for him. Yeah. And he's been talking about what it means to face a Ghanaian coach in the upcoming qualifiers.
Yeah, I have big respect for Kwesi Appiah, for what he has achieved as a player, but also as a coach for Ghana. I'm looking forward to this game. But to be honest, for me, it doesn't matter who's on the other side. We're looking at our team. We're trying to prepare ourselves best as possible, and that's the most important thing for us. And I think in this game, very much, it's mostly about us, our attitude towards the game, and this is what we're looking at.
So that was Otuadu speaking about Kwesi Appiah. Just before he actually spoke about Kwesi Appiah, he made a joke that his grandma had a crush on Kwabena Yeboah, who asked the question. And so, I don't know the correlation, but people are not happy about the joke. They said he won't be laughing if he doesn't beat Sudan. Yeah, so we would get into the game proper. Ghana versus Sudan. It's a very, very important game. These two teams have a lot of history. But before I come back to assess Ghana's chances and how Ghana can possibly solve the attacking problem and then the defensive problem, it's pretty shortly. But Bill, what do you think went wrong against Niger and Angola? Before we look ahead to Sudan, what was Ghana's biggest issue? What does Otuadu need to fix?
Yeah, defensively, I think Ghana has been quite off. It's been quite evident that in about the last four games, we've conceded late in the game. In fact, in the year 2024, we've conceded about half of our goals at past 70th minute. So that goes to show that the boys really switch off when it gets to latter stages in the game. And also, it's not really looking good for Otuadu defensively. In six matches he's managed, he's considered 10 goals. That's not good. That's more than one goal per game. So that is quite concerning.
Almost double.
Very concerning. And the problem of the pitch on one side, that is the Babayaro Sports Stadium, is another thing. I mean, there was complaints from Otuadu himself. There was complaints from Angola coach himself. That was the case on one side. But when we went to Niger, played in Morocco against Niger, that complaint was off the table because the pitch was much better. It was solid. But still, the Black Stars weren't able to get all 3 points. So I think the main issue has been defensively. The boys really switch off. it is now something that Otuado has to drill into the team. And of course, he did mention in his presser that he spoke to a number of players. He went around traveling to different countries, speaking to the key players in the team, that he wasn't really satisfied with the kind of performance they put in the matches and the kind of effort they put in matches. I mean, he emphasized how these players need to go in for a tackle more. Even if they have to take a yellow card, take one for the team, they have to take it when it's very, very necessary and all of that. So I think that has to be imbibed in the mental psyche of the players, that the game doesn't last for just 60, 65 minutes. It lasts for 90 plus, potential 10, 11, 15, depending on what happens during the game. And they have to be switched on from minute zero to minute 90 plus, maybe 11 or 15. And if we do that, like we possibly did against Mali, where everybody was defending as a unit and trying to attack when they had the chance, then we'll get results. But it's not going to be easy. It's Sudan, it's Kwesi Appiah, and he's part of the ESCO. He's part of the ESCO. The ESCO make decisions on the Black Stars. He's part. He will know what happens in meetings. He will probably know the squad list very early. And he will know how to plan against the squad list. In fact, he gave some players their debut. Kudus debut under Kwesi Appiah. So
are you trying to say that Kwesi Appiah has the advantage in this match?
Oh, yes.
He has the keys.
He has keys, plenty. His keys are a lot.
I would have told Otuado to drop Kudus.
He has a lot of keys, to be honest. In my opinion, he has keys. But again, Otuado is sort of creating his own style, creating his own strategy. He could spring up a surprise that can, you know, hurt Kwesi Appiah again. Because, I mean, he's a modern manager. We expect him to do that. He's tried a back three. He's tried a 4-2-3-1, all of that. So he could spring up something that, you know, can give us the edge over Sudan. But it's not going to be easy. It's really not going to be. Kwesi Appiah will probably have been in meetings of the ESCO. He would have known the squad hours before the squad was released. And he would set up plans with Ignatius on how to beat the squad. So it's really going to be tough. But again, the real issue is the defensive mindset. And it can't be blamed on just the defenders. Everybody has to defend. Now, in modern football, you have to do some defensive work. Let me put Arsenal for example. Saka even tracks back. Havertz, who plays as a number 9 these days, tracks back. Everybody tracks back and takes on a man to make sure that defensively everyone is solid. I remember when Arsenal played a haram ball against Manchester City at the Etihad after going a man down. Proper haram ball. Everybody was behind the center circle, defending for their lives. That is the kind of mentality that has to be imbibed in every single player in the Black Stars. I know some of the players don't like doing it, but for this case and for what we need when it comes to qualification to Morocco 2025, everybody has to sacrifice. And so that should be the mentality of the team.
I say because I was just looking at Sudan's results in the past few matches, and they're a difficult side to play. I think even when they lost to Angola by 2-1, yes, Angola dominated the ball, but Sudan just find a way. They're very resolute at the back, mm-hmm. and Angola needed a very late goal from Inteca to win it by 2-1. It's a goal that opened the dynamics in the group, but let me come to your guesting. First time that Uganda playing a competitive game at the Barbera Sports Stadium in about 3 years. We faced Liberia there. We won by 3-1 in a friendly match much more recently. Have you seen the pitch? Videos, pictures. Are you convinced? And 2.7. What's the dynamic looking like moving from Kumasi to Accra? Do you think that affects the team in any way?
Yeah, you see, the pitch matter seems to be a bit tricky as at now because you see pictures, but we are not getting the chance to actually see that in itself.
Please add the background sound. Then confuse you. Okay, confuse you. Yeah,
so I don't know who is confused. If we, the citizens, are confused, but I think maybe from Tuesday, we'll get a chance to have a proper sight on of how the pitch looks like, because this Accra's president pitch has always been a potato pitch for some time now, and I doubt a miracle could happen in such a few days. Come on, we are not in the US. Even Bernabeu can't give us such a miracle. So, and I don't know if you are not getting something right. The CAF requirement, stadium requirement, you go through, and the first two things you see is that the pitch must be flat and smooth. But in Ghana, we just think about the pitch being green.
Yeah.
You see. So
The unfortunate thing is that you only have to wait till match day, because right now, if you're a media and you go there, they'll sack you.
So how did CAF arrive at the conclusion that the stadium is fit for purpose? The stadium is fit to host.
Well, it was a conditional approval. They said they should work on other things.
Yeah. No, but you see, I just feel
CAF are being lenient.
Yeah. Because since we heard CAF was going to ban Ghana, wasn't now since 2022.
Yeah.
Remember against Nigeria?
Yeah.
Remember when the Nigerian legend, what, I've forgotten his
Amokachi.
Name. Amokachi.
Yeah.
Amokachi did a video. He was mocking Ghana.
Yeah.
It was like,
you don't have a pitch.
2 or 3 weeks to the match and they don't have a pitch. And it's very embarrassing. And you see, since 2022, we've had this issue. Tomorrow, the Blasters are going to train. And I tell you, Riku, the boys will start complaining from tomorrow. Because they are used to the best pitches in Europe. Week in, week out. Even the ones they train on is far better than the Accra Sports Stadium pitch. So if Accra Sports Stadium has managed to pass the CAF requirements, then CAF in itself... there's a problem in there. CAF in itself, they need to come out clearly and say, maybe they just need to admit and say, okay, out of, let's say,
out of pity basically,
because it's really it's
you can check our Facebook stream, TFM 92.7. there's a very green pitch.
Yeah.
This green pitch you are seeing.
This green there, Yomo.
Some of my panelists believe it's been Yomolized.
Yomo.
There's green spray.
Because before the game against Nigeria in 2022, we saw the Baba Yara Sports Stadium. We were all impressed. Fantastic job. But when the game kicked off, we realized, hey, these people.
The Angola safe.
Hey, the way NSA released some video.
they know the right angles. Even the picture that they posted on Twitter, they hadn't cleaned the chairs.
Yeah. Yes.
They were coming to guy.
Yes, I was about to tell you,
keep off the grass. Tomorrow the players will be on the grass and they will start complaining.
Yeah, I'll be GFA has to release a video, training video. Yeah. So we'll see the real state of the pitch. But let's talk about the match itself. And you're talking about the defense. Bill has outlined what needs to change and how Ghana needs to defend better. The numbers are not looking good. Let's hear from one of the defenders who is expected to start, Ali Dusadu, who actually scored Ghana's only goal from the last international window. Now, he says that it's a real honor to play for the team and is something that he always looks forward to. And so we'll hear from him, and then when we come back, I want you to have some talk about structurally what needs to change and whether Ghana's goalkeeper Atizigi is the best at the moment that we do have.
Me putting Ghana's t-shirt is very huge, because to be as a professional player, we all want to play for our motherland, and me I got the opportunity to play for Ghana. I think it's a big honor for me, and yeah, I have to continue and play and serve my country, because playing the national team is very, very emotional. And even when you are going to play a match, when they start to give the national anthem, the emotions, and sometimes even like Kumasi, when we play in the VIP, I see my parents. So when I just raise my hand, I see my parents. So when the national team song is playing, it's amazing and a lot of emotion. Yeah.
Alidu says a lot of emotions involved when you're representing the Black Stars. Alidu will be in the defense. We've seen him play at the left side. I don't know whether he'll be at the right side with Gideon coming back. What's Ghana's best defensive setup? Does something need to change personnel-wise for Ghana to keep a clean sheet? Or you think it's more of the structure?
Eric, I'm not... It's very difficult to tell, because we've had a change of manager. This year alone, we've had 2 managers. And I think the same issue pops up. Against Mozambique at the African Cup of Nations, we thought, okay, 6 minutes to full time, they could see out the game and qualify to the next round. And they conceded 2 goals. Otuadu comes in his first game against Nigeria, he concedes 2 goals.
Yeah.
Against Uganda, he concedes 2 goals.
Yeah. Against
three against goals. Mali concedes one. Central Africa Republic concedes three goals.
Angola one.
Angola one. And Niger one. So I think you can argue that our best defensive partnership is Djiku, Salisu, Gideon on the left, and Alidu Seydou. But those four plus, what's the name? Lawrence Atizigi at the back. But those five at the back have proven that there's still something, or there's still work to be done in the defense. And I think Otto has been very honest. He's admitted it anytime he's at the press conference. So I think Bill's approach is the best at the moment. We all defend and we all attack when necessary. Because for me, I think the defense is not good enough. Because Djiku and Salisu still haven't formed a solid partnership. In the game against Central Africa Republic, we were badly exposed. The second goal that Mafuta scored, you saw Salisu rushed into the tackle, not knowing his defensive partner was out of position. And it's just communication. The two don't communicate better. And I just feel it's going to carry on into the game against Sudan. And if Sudan are just not clinical, we might keep a clean sheet. But if they are clinical enough, we are not going to keep a clean sheet. So I think all we have to do is to just outscore them. But for me personally, I don't see how this team is going to keep a clean sheet. Because even if the defense is good, we know Atizigi is going to do something. It's just going to be, it's just going to concede some goal that he could have easily saved. And Oroku is very, very surprising. And sometimes it's depressing to watch, because you watch these players week in, week out. You see Salisu playing for Monaco against Barcelona, excellent. Djiku, excellent. Yeah. Fenerbahce is won the hearts of Mourinho consistently. Moomin from Rayo consistently is playing at the top level. He comes against Angola, he commits a huge blunder. Atizigi in Switzerland is the best goalkeeper. He's winning awards. And when he plays for the Blasters, I don't know if there's a lack of confidence or really can't tell. So I just feel Otto has a lot of work to do in the defense. And unfortunately for him, the national team is not like a club footballer. You have the players for a longer period of time. You just have the players for, let's say, 4 or 5 days. And I think Otto has complained about that team before, but he has to deal with it. Because he knew this is how international football or national team football works. If he thinks he can't stand it, he can't do the job, he should just follow Hansi Flick's life and just move back to club football. Because Flick clearly couldn't handle Germany because of the short time span they have when they assemble the players. Club football is working best for him, and he's enjoying life at Barcelona.
Well, interestingly, if you look at the numbers from the last two games, I think against Angola, we conceded 12 shots. Against Niger, I'm looking at it right now, we conceded 14 shots.
Hey!
And hey. In Niger, yeah, 14 shots. Hey. In Ghana, played 6 against Niger.
Huh?
I'm sure 14 to 6.
Ali said you played 5.
Yeah.
And you know, the interesting thing is that Ghana had 61% possession. With our 61% possession, we only managed 6 shots.
No.
Niger used their 39% possession to play 14 shots. No. What this shows is that when we face opposition that is very direct, I think the whole problem comes with our structure, to be honest. And Otto is trying to play in a certain type of way that I just don't think is sustainable on this continent. If you realized, in the last game, Ashimero played as a 6.
Yeah.
And constantly, he's been trying to play Partey and Kudus as double 8s.
Yeah.
That on paper looks good, but whenever any of these two guys lose the ball,
there's a big hole in the midfield.
And in Central Africa, you could see it when Kudus lost the ball. You see, for years Pep was trying to work on a worse defense that would win him the Champions League. He finally got it when he had that 4 center backs plus Rodri, and then sometimes Bernardo Silva drops in. Yeah, so it's all about being compact. But you know, in the Ghana system, our fullbacks are going for it, and we have a double 8. And so sometimes it's just a player who's on number 6, Ashimero, left to 2 centre backs. And whenever we suffer a counter attack, it ends up being a shot. It's almost like the Ten Hag issue that, you know, Manu are having. I think it's a structural thing. Because as you mentioned, all of these players are very good when they go back to that
club. Yeah.
So I don't know. Is it a structural thing or a commitment thing? But Otto is saying that it is more of a structural, it's more of a commitment one, because he says that he's traveled around to go and speak to some players. He didn't like the attitude they showed. So let's hear from him, and then when we come back, maybe you guys can guess. From the two games against Angola and Niger, we'll make a list of the players that we think Otto traveled to go and speak to.
I want to see the hunger on the pitch. And for me, I had a lot of talks, to be honest. I went also around to visit some players to talk to them directly, because I was very, very unhappy about a lot of players, the way they performed. So we had very, very good talks. But now it's time for action. You know, everybody can talk. We can talk good, and everybody can say, hey, I want to give 100%, but for me, talk is very, very cheap. You know, it's easy to talk, but we have to see it on the pitch.
So that was Otuadu there saying that he traveled to some place. Augustin Efsin Bill. You guys, you watched your two games.
Oh, me, I have first two.
Who?
Oh, Pate and Kudus. This is why I'm saying that. Mm. On Parliament on Monday, mm-hmm. when I went there and Parliament started asking Kurt questions.
Yeah.
They ended up asking, where is the coach? Henry came out and answered, he was like, oh, the coach is in UK.
UK?
Yes.
Ah, then I'll add Fatawa to your list.
Ah, okay.
Add if it wasn't you, I think Fatawa had a really bad two games.
Yeah. No, but you can't fault Fatawa much. I think the guy right now has a dilemma. Mm. I think he's losing his position at Leicester City.
Yeah.
We all thought Jordan coming in was going to help him with his transition in the Premier League and all that. But unfortunately, Jordan is taking a guy's position. And I think he's playing on his mind. He's also consistently played out of position
yeah.
in the Blasters. You have to be very fair with Fatawa Issahaku. Consistently, yeah. he's being played out of position. But he gives off his best against Mali, Central Africa Republic. We saw the best version of himself. But in the last two games, he was off. So I will defend Fatawa for now. I'll defend him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll see. I'll defend him. Kudus empathy. I
guess do you have any news? Perhaps Atiziki or Jiku Mumin. Jiku wasn't there. Okay, Jiku wasn't there.
Okay, so I think I wouldn't fault the players as well, especially Paten and Kudus.
Yeah,
we played in Kumasi, and I was fortunate to be on the pitch side that day.
Yeah.
In the game against the African Republic in Angola, I was fortunate to be on the pitch side. You see a lot of things going on, and then you could tell that they really have a problem with what they are playing on. And I say you can't fault them, because Partey is playing in Arsenal, Kudu is playing in West Ham. He comes here and he plays on this. Imagine him getting injured. Now there's Mikel Merino, there's Jorginho everywhere. If Partey should get injured for 2 months, do you think he could still come back and then walk straight into the team? Look at Kudus. West Ham signed a whole lot of players during the summer.
Yeah.
So it all plays on their mind. Come on, you come to the national team, you don't expect them to give all out. And we talk about passion. Now, football isn't just about passion. It's about, it's a business. So you look at the environment you are performing. If it's conducive, then you have the chance to give you all. But if you're not making it conducive for them, you don't, and someone will be like Pate, wouldn't wait for it. You wouldn't take those chances, and then others. He will just be
one knee slide and
yes,
yeah. one knee slide.
And when Inaki scored, I'm sure he wanted to do knee slide.
But you realized that no
thought twice. To wrap up on the Black Stars, we're going to do a little activity together, guys. We're going to name the best available starting 11 with the players that we have now. Mm. But I'm giving you a preamble based on the fact that your two strikers are right now thriving as wingers. Semenyo, arguably best player in the Premier League in September if there was no Haaland, playing as a right wing for Bournemouth. Inaki Williams has already made more assists than he did last season playing off the right wing. Mm. With this preamble, what is your best starting 11 for Ghana? Who starts as number 9? Who starts as the winger? I think the defense probably might sort itself, but I'll give you guys a chance.
Yeah.
Until we go, who do we go for?
Atiziki.
Atiziki. Okay, yeah. Right. So with Gideon back, does Alidu still start as a left back?
No.
Okay, so if Gideon starts as a left back, then who starts a right back? Alidu or Tariq?
Alidu.
As
I'm
back.
Just looking at the physique and the stature of the Sudanese. I just feel the ugly Tariq Lamptey, but take nothing away from Tariq. Tariq is a very good player, but I would prefer Alidu
on the right,
yeah,
because he's more strong, yeah, and he also plays more like he plays more of the African football. So.
You pull his shot out.
Yeah.
So we have Atizigi, Ali Dusedu, Gideon Mensah, centre back pairing. Does it pick itself?
Jiku and Salisu. Yeah.
Okay, and then in midfield, what partnership? This is where the trouble comes because I still don't see a natural ball winner in our squad.
Yeah, it used to be Salis at some point, but Salis is no more in the team.
Yeah.
Elisha should have been, but
I'll put Elisha in there. I'll put Partey, and I'll put Ashmeru.
Shagun, a three-man midfield.
Yeah.
So what could you play?
First nine.
And who plays as your wingers?
Inaki on the right, Semenyo on the left.
Hard.
What do you guys think? We are doing this together. Don't be saying hard.
I just think since we were growing up, all we hear is a grub ball, 4-4-2.
Yeah.
And every coach that comes in, he has to play for. No. You see, sometimes you have to look at the squad you have available. Me, I think any manager who has a squad who play Naki on the right, Semenyo on the left, and Kudus as a first nine, whether you like it or not, you have to just admit that Kudus doesn't track back. He doesn't like to do defensive duties. So put him first nine, the free role, what we like to call the Messi role when he was at Barcelona during the Pep Guardiola era. And just leave Elisha, Partey, and Ashmeru in the middle. I just feel these three are good enough to control the ball and move it from the back and offer options to the defense to also progress the ball. That is what I think.
I see the
only hindrance is going to be the pitch.
I see
that. So that means that you are going to drop Jordan, Fatal, and Esnyama.
If Jordan will work hard as a on the wings, fine.
He takes off.
What do you guys think? You are doing this together. What do you think about the midfield?
On form basis, Semenyo should start over Jordan anyway.
Yeah.
So, to be honest, I would have put Jordan on the left wing, but for the sake of form, Semenyo should start over.
No, but you see, and the thing is that Jordan would do the same work as Kudus. Because Jordan also likes to hold on to the ball for very long.
Yeah.
But what Kudus offers is that Kudus' dribbling is more effective, is more better than compared to Jordan. No disrespect to Jordan, but Kudus' dribbling is better. So let's say Kudus will progress the ball better, will move into spaces. And I feel Kudus' best position is the free roll. When he has the ball in good positions, and I just feel his partnership with Ashmeru, we saw it at the AFCON, it worked really well. Unless, that's why I keep saying the only hindrance is going to be the pitch, because these boys are very good. Are very good when they are playing at their club size. Yeah. Like, they have it all to give. When they have it all in them, and they can win a game by the quality that they possess. So, for me, that's going to be my lineup. Fatal hasn't played a lot of football in recent games.
Yeah.
So I'll still pick Inaki ahead of Fatal. Inaki on the right. You've seen him how he plays when he's at Bilbao. Three or four assists this season already. So,
how about Brandon Thomas Asante?
Oh, bench. Bench.
Wow. You guys have called for
super, super sub. Trossard.
Yes.
Ghana Trossard.
Ghana Trossard.
What do you guys think? Do you make any changes to that starting 11?
I see the vision. I think I understand where FCN is coming from. I thought about putting Jordan on the left wing, to be honest, but I just realized that. Jordan,
so would you also play Kudus as a false nine?
I should. Yeah, I understand why, because to be honest, as I said initially, we all have to defend and defend well. Kudus can be a suspect sometimes, especially when you place him deeper to defend. So it's better if he defends from the front. That gives you a better chance. And, you know, I know Inaki Williams works hard defensively. I know Semenyo can work hard defensively too. So I can bet on them on the wings.
I think he's tried this. I think he auto-tried
that was
this.
Nyama.
He's tried this false nine thing before. Yeah. And it's in the game against Mali, right?
Yeah.
Not Mali. No, it was the Nigeria-Uganda friendly.
It was Nigeria, yeah.
It didn't work out so well.
It was Nigeria.
Against Mali, he also tried it too.
I think it was
Nigeria Uganda friendlies that he started Niamh as a false nine.
I remember right winger Semenyo was in up front and Ernest was at the left wing.
Augustine, what do you think?
I think it's not just about the positions we're going to give the players, but it's more about the roles.
Okay.
We don't have a DM you can trust in our Black Stars team currently.
We can trust Elisha.
Come on. We then resort to Majid Ashmiru and then Pate just languishing around that area. But I think the problem of the right and then left back is also eating us up, because in the last two games we thought that these two players will go, and I don't know if you're always thinking of lobbing the ball to them, which is also not working, because Kudus Partey and others like to play the ball in the midfield.
Yeah.
And against Sudan, it's going to be very tight. Kwesi Appiah will make it very tight for us. Yeah. Certainly, we're going to get those defense splitting passes, those penetrating passes. So I then side with him and playing Kudus in that free role, the number 9 position, because if you isolate a striker there, mind you, he might not even get 10 touches in the first 5 minutes. So I think playing someone like Kudus, who like to come back, even have see more of the ball, would work out. But for Antoine Semenyo and then Inaki starting the game is quite a problem. Come on, and I would introduce someone like Jordan to replace maybe Antoine. Sadly, because Antoine Semenyo is informed, but we look at how they play in the national team, how they are able to execute what Ghanaians want and what the coach wants in the national team. And I think Semenyo has not gotten there yet. So yeah,
being a coach is tough.
Yeah,
very tough. I think a lot also depend on how the boys train for Monday. But just quite quickly, your predictions for the game, the one on Thursday.
The one on Thursday might be, if Ghana should win, it will be a 1-0 win.
You know the funny thing, if Ghana wins, all of a sudden we go second and we go top of Sudan. If Ghana loses,
we are close to being
almost. But I'm also
almost disaster.
To see Ghana not conceding a goal, that's another problem.
Yeah, 2-1.
I think for the conceding thing, that's the only reason why I'll consider a midfield three.
Concede, don't worry.
If we play that midfield that you listed, I think for once, and then you allow just one fullback to go back, maybe Gideon, and then Alidu stays to make a back three. Yeah. Then two of your midfielders, Ashmiru and Elisha, stay. Pate goes slightly forward. I think
we have a chance.
Yeah, if you have a rest defense of 5 players, that's decent enough. Yeah. Sudan won't commit more than 4 players for it.
Yeah.
We've seen Kwesi Appiah and how he plays on the counter attack. But so your prediction is
1-0?
Yes, 1-0. I've seen.
Ghana to win and over
2.5. 2-1.
2-1 in favor of
Ghana.
I think Ghana will have a very comfortable win.
I think Ghana to win and over 2.5.
It'll be a 3-goal margin. It will be our biggest winner.
2.5, 3 goal.
Biggest winner under Otto. Maybe like a 3-0.
If there's been that, then
or 4. Augustine, put everything on it.
No, I think I would suspect Kwesi Appiah in a way. Because
I want to say this on record.
How Sudan is playing, they are not really conceding. And then how the Black Stars are playing.
You see, the problem is that Black Stars, The players are not bad.
I think once they click in one game, it will be
the
brutal.
The previous results suggest that, that's what Otto said. He went out, he's spoken to them. They have to show more commitment, more passion. More
commitment and passion.
Passion. So if the players show more commitment and passion on Thursday at the Accra Sports Stadium, forget. Ghana to win and over 2.5.
Sharp.
That's hard.
Sharp.
3 goals.
So...
Maybe we'll lose the over 2.
So okay, let's look at Sudan's results. Since the World Cup qualifiers started, maybe November 2023. So they drew 1-1 with Sudan. They drew 1-1 with Togo. Sorry, they beat DR Congo 1-0. Very impressive. They failed to beat Bangladesh. Red flag. And then they beat Bangladesh 3-0 4 days later. Okay. And then they beat Guinea-Bissau 1-0. Guinea-Bissau beat them 2-1. They beat Tanzania 2-1. They lost to Tanzania 1-0. Mm. They beat Mauritania 2-0 away. And then they beat South Sudan 3-0. They beat Niger 1-0. Lost to Angola 2-1.
We will share.
I don't think the teams that...
Angola results 2-1.
Yeah.
That's the same results for Ghana. See, oh, very good.
Ah, the 2.5. I think Ghana
2-1 because I know Ati Ziggy is going to concede.
Ziggy has to keep a clean sheet.
Why is England after this?
Oh, no, we've not had a clean sheet under Otuado since he became permanent manager.
We've not. No clean sheet. That's serious.
Anyways, we'll stay with the Black Stars, but we'll go to their club side. A lot to talk about. Kudus finally getting on the score sheet, and then Andrea Yu is back. To you, Mohamed Kudus, he needed some bit of luck, rebound to finally end that streak of not scoring goals. It must have gotten to him. You could see where he celebrated. It was almost like a sigh of relief, like, I'm really tired. It's been a very long time. Last time he scored was at the Etihad, at the end of last season.
Yeah, it's been quite a long time. And remember before the start of the campaign, he was, you know, bubbly, he was happy, he felt like it was the kind of season that he could do even better than last season. So the expectations were quite high. And it was really impressive what he did last season. And so naturally, a lot of Ghanaians expected that he would kick off, you know, up and running. But we've seen some turmoil, even to a point where, quotes in quotes, Lopetegui made him a scapegoat. And so I personally had that fear that it would get to a point where Lopetegui would start dropping him and his form would really drop off to a point where he might not be able to come back from it. But he put his faith in him, started him against Ipswich, and he's finally gotten that goal. His first headed goal since he joined West Ham, which is, I mean, I've never personally seen Kudus square a header. So that's actually good to see. And as
I think you got one against TSC in the Europa League.
That's a lot. But if you look at the goal and how,
I've never seen him the jump
leap
that high.
Yeah, the leap.
He jumped really high.
You know, a lot of people are sort of undermining it, but it's the player we're looking at. No, it's not just about how high he jumped, but he stayed there to ensure the defender doesn't even have the chance to jump.
Yeah, yeah.
Charlie, if you've not scored in a while, scoring goes in easy.
And again, as our legendary Cristiano Ronaldo will see, goals are like ketchup. The moment you score the first one, it will start flowing.
So we'll see more against Sudan.
Oh, we have to see more.
Ah, more Kudus. Kivo Gari, more goals.
Kubasi, see.
But Epson, let's move from you know, the younger generation to the much older one. Andre, are you back amongst? Why are you laughing? I've not even asked the question.
I've not even asked the question.
Andrea is back in action. Back where he left last season. If we are considering the standards, 5 goals in the league, 6 goals in all competitions, he still couldn't make the Black Star squad with that form. Is there a chance he does better? And do you see him making the squad hopefully by end of season from his point of view? what does he need to do, Alihav?
Yeah, first of all, he needs to get in shape. I really don't understand or do not know why he left in the first place, because probably the club thought they were going to get maybe a better player to come in, a younger player to come in, because if you look at his stats, he was their joint top scorer. So it made no sense for him to leave at the end of the campaign, but he left. And I think he also tried to go somewhere else, but it didn't happen for him and he had to come back.
Yeah.
So he's missed, let's say, 2 months of football.
Yeah.
So he has to, first of all, get in shape, start training, get in shape before he's going to get match minutes. It's going to take some 1 month for him to adapt and get back to his best. But for me, I think I just feel the Blasters, as far as Otuado is the Blaster school, I just feel it's over for him. Otto is just trying to be diplomatic about it. He doesn't want to come out to say, your national team is over as far as I'm here. He's trying to be very, very professional about it. He doesn't want to step over any toes, and he doesn't want to make any enemies, as people would like to put it. So unless he does something extremely less, like
20 goals.
You know, he starts at Le Havre in the first game, 2 goals, another game, 1 goal, let's say 5 goals in 3 games. maybe we'll start considering, okay, people will start saying, okay, Andre is scoring, why are we not inviting him? Because, okay, if his stats are better than those in the same league, why are we calling them and not calling Andre? The calls are going to come. And that is where we are going to see if really he has been left out by or is not part of Otto's plans.
Yeah.
Because the first call-up that he was dropped this year, at that time, he was playing really well. As you mentioned, he has scored 5 goals. And I think they nominated him for goal of the season for the bicycle cake also. And he still didn't make the squad. And also said he drove all the way from Germany to France to explain to him. And the player wasn't happy. And for me, I will not be happy. If at that time I've managed to get a club, I'm playing week in, week out, I'm scoring, and I'm still not getting a call up. The guy knows he's 34. He's at a latter stages of his career, and it's just, let's see, anything, like, it's just the career is just getting to an end. So he knows if he's not being considered now, what time again? So obviously at that time he was worried. So he's gotten more worried that he's not being considered. And if you listen to Otto, anytime he's had a chance to speak on this matter, he said, Thomas Partey is my captain. Thomas Partey is my captain. And I think one of the press conferences, he went as far as saying Thomas Partey, Mohamed Kudus, Djiku, Salisu.
Yeah.
That's 4 players he mentioned without even mentioning Andre. So the player who will be there and you know, say, this is really a worry for me. Unless I do something spectacular, something really extraordinary from his past. And Andre has the quality. You've seen him. Anytime we think he's done and dusted, anytime we think he's not going to get back up. And he just sprung a surprise on us. Before when he went to Le Havre, we all thought that would have been it for him. We all thought he was not going to make the AFCON squad in the first place. But he managed to sign a deal with Le Havre. He went to the AFCON, set the record, obviously, when he came on in the game.
At the detriment of the Black Stars, who got knocked out at the
stage. I didn't say this. He set the record against Mozambique. So you can't rule him out. For me, fine player. The French league is also one league that he has experience. He's played in since he was young at Marseille. Consistently, he delivers. So let's see how it goes. I wish him very well. All the best. I think it's a win-win situation also for, especially at the club side, because Le Havre are struggling. They are candidates for relegation already. They scored, I think, 7 goals in 6 games. And it's something that they looked at. They look at it and they say, okay, who do we bring in? Who do we have available in the market? And they say, okay, let's bring in Andre. I just hope he delivers for them.
Well, we'll be wrapping up on Andrea, you and Kudus there with regards to the Ghanaian players abroad. And then we'll come back home to the Ghana Premier League. Probably the result of the weekend is Hartlepool being held at home to a goalless draw. And our guest in now, let me just go through the results. Hartlepool played 0-0 to Indiana. House of Lions also held Midiama to a goalless draw. Vision FC won 1-0 against Holy Stars. And Satriman beats Lagos City 3-1. Karela between drew 1-1 with Tamatex. Dreams FC lost at home to Nations FC. Bibiani Gold Stars beat Bechem United by 1-0. Young Apostles lost on the road against Berkut Chelsea. And Asante Kotoko picked up a result that sends them top of the group. That's the Ghana Premier League log. Augustine, Hartlepool, what's going wrong? All of a sudden, they won against Bechem. It looked like safe. Okay, now they look like they probably are about to turn over a new leaf. And then back-to-back goalless draws against Nations FC and then Indiana. Now the problem has gone from losing to not winning.
Oriku, look at Hartlepool very well. At the post-match press conference, Abubakar Ouattara spoke for about 15 minutes and he mentioned a lot of things. One journalist asked him about the problem at Hartlepool. And what he said was that Hartlepool's problem is like salad. It has a lot of things put together. He said he has a bit of incompetence of coach, player attitude, structure, administration, and then minimal. And I think all the things he mentioned are really true, such that he even put himself up there, mentioning that they have a problem with coach competency. And before the game, he also mentioned that the players had lost attention even before they went onto the pitch, concentration before they went onto the pitch. And I don't know if there's another voice the players are listening other than our character, because he literally meant that in a post-match press conference. And he also tries to condemn the players at each chance he gets with the kind of performance they put on. And he also mentions that the game was played on Friday. Had to play on Sunday against Nations in Kumasi, Abraham Kese. So they traveled back to Accra. They got in Accra on Sunday, on Monday morning. He said Monday morning, Tuesday, five of his starting players were at Ghanama Soccer Center of Excellence for Justify for the Black Galaxy team. And he was not really happy at all. Because he says, how can you take five of his players out and then bring them back on Wednesday when he has a game on Friday and you expect him to get the results? But, well, he went to the market, signed 12 players, so you don't blame us when five of the players are out. But you still decided and went on to play these teams. But I think the problem here, Hartlepool has gotten, has been quite good with the defense and then the midfield, such that they've kept, after the two losses, they've kept clinches in their last three games against Nations FC, against Bechem United, and against Adriana. The attack of Hartlepool is where the problem comes. They've had one golden boy in the midfield called Hussein Mohamed. They signed from BBB United, and that guy has been fantastic. He has been a ball winner, a ball progressor, a very good pass selector, and all. I think the attack is where the problem is currently. Because if you are defending very well and the goals are not coming, that's what the data tells you, that the attackers are not doing their work very well. There's Steven Appiah, sorry. There's Maulu Ayo. There's Hamza Issa, who scored 14 or 13 goals last season. And then there are the other couple of players. The chemistry and then organization at that attacking phase of Hartlepool's team right now is chaotic. No one knows where to stand at a point in time. You watch that game against Adrian, and then you'll be told that there are times Hamza will even drift to the left side, to the right side. And I don't know how he communicates his tactics to them, whether he tells them to just go to the pitch and then go where the ball is. Because there's disorganization in the midfield or in the attack of Hartlepool. And the changes, come on, the changes are quite bad. You have a man advantage, a numerical advantage, and then you substitute a forward, brings in a midfielder, and the midfielder comes in and he's shambolic. And Hartlepool really created a lot of chances. Mind you, that they could have buried three goals at the back of the net, but their inability to convert the chance also really worried them.
Yeah.
He was also asked about Hamza Issa not scoring goals as he was scoring last season. And interestingly, the kind of answer he gave, I don't know what his mood and the anger he brought to the press conference was also something. He asked the top goal scorer of last season, and that was Steven Amankuna, who scored about 17 goals. And he asked how many goals that player has scored this season. And Amankuna has scored none. and he said, so that's how life is. You progress from one stage. So after you exit that room, you close the door. And this is the new season. But I think a new season should be an improvement. Yeah. No one expects to retrogress in life. No team expects to retrogress as the season goes on. So last season was bad. It was just Hamza Issa. You come in this season and the team is bad in a way, but if Hamza Issa is also not functioning, then it means you went in for someone watching a VA who is Ghanaian version of, let's say, Giroud. He can score in the head, but on ground, he is very bad. He scored about 10 goals at Nations FC. He comes in and then you are not really getting to play him in his best position. He's a centre forward, I mean, but you tend to play him sometimes on the left wing, on the right wing. So I think he should get a structure for the attackers. This is how I want to play. If the right back and the left back will join them in attack, sweeping crosses for Asamoah Gyan in the field, then that's fine. But he has such a player, and you know his abilities, and you're not playing to see his abilities, and you still expect him to score. I don't know if he's going to conjure the goals for, or he's going to conjure the chance for. So I think Abubakar Ouattara should really look at his attackers. He should really speak to them, because if they're not getting, and then Hartlepool goes on to draw, it would be like Accra get to Olympics last season, with Benjamin Asare keeping the most clean sheets, but they still go on relegation. Yeah. So I think there's still hope for us to work, and then they should do better. Their next game is at Wenchi against Young Apostles, which has also proven to be a fortress because they beat Eduana there by 3-2, and then so I think they should prepare and then be ready to face. We don't want to take excuses of your players going to the national team. Come on. You bought players, you have the squad depth, so if you still decide to play them and they don't fancy well, it's none of our business. So you should do well, you can still do well.
And just quickly on Asante Kotoko, they've won 3 games so far, drawn to top of the table. The 3 games that they've won have all been 1-0 victories. Do you see them as a team that can sustain this, or do you perhaps think that they've been walking on a third in a very dangerous path where against Accra Lions they conceded some chances that in fact Accra Lions scored and was ruled out as offside. Do you think that they have to improve, or they're showing marks of champions winning games not in the best or nicest possible way?
I think Kotoko has improved looking at last season, and I'll tell you why. They played 5 games against Karela at Faraway in Arigo. Last season, in that game at Arigo, they lost. And this season, they won at that venue. The second game was against Swartman. That was match day 2, but they played it just midweek. In Swartman, away last season, they lost. At home last season, they lost by 2-1, and they won this season. They play against Akalians at home, they win by 2-0. Last season, they lost at Babaria by 3-2. So this should tell you that the result they couldn't get last season, they are getting it this season.
Yeah.
And that also puts him in a situation where he should continue to get the results he got last season. And I think Kotoko is also playing on a very risky line currently, because scoring just 1 and sometimes not conceding. And I said that the last 3 games has been that they'll score early in the game. Against Brooklyn, they'll score as early as 2nd minute. Can't see Michael J. Jamina. In the game against Waterman midweek, they scored around 48 minutes. That was just after 3 minutes after recess.
Yeah.
In the game today, they scored 4 minutes after recess. So that tells you that maybe Ogumin is actually speaking right to the players when they go to the touchline. So I think that's where it came from. But then, Kotoko is not playing that Ogun football. Come on, if you watch Kotoko, you know, be happy. So if you are not watching Kotoko and you think your team is just flying and you are deceiving yourself because they are not playing too against Waterman. They were matched boot for boot against Akali, and they also matched against Karela. They were matched against Bekum Chelsea and others. So I think they are not looking at the results, because that's what Kotoko fans want. If you play the nicest way, you still lose, they'll bash you. They'll say we should sack you. So that's what he's doing. I think it might work for him continuously, but you know, there are some venues he can't go in and get maybe a goal. Such as in St. Charles, some attacks have shown, even at TNA Stadium. So I think Kotoko fans should still be optimistic, but it's still early days. They are suffering from injuries, but they are still doing quite well. Looking at them, Baba Aya, who was one instrumental player, is out due to injury. Sambo Niogo Bani Dongani is out. Smart is out for about 6 weeks. But then they are still looking at the squad depth. And Ogun really signed players to have backups to starting players, and that's what's working. He has Albert Tama, who signed from Olympics, and he's only a player to have more than a goal this season. He scored against Carolina and then against Akali. So I think it might work for them if they are able to maintain or keep on with what they are doing. But they should just assume that there are some games they don't have to concede possession and then do that around ball, because it has gone to a point to Mikel Arteta. Pep Guardiola is even doing it. There are some games you don't, if you expect to go in all out and get wins, you can't. So you just sit back and then conserve the game very well and then do what you need to do to get to the result.
Well, thank you very much, Augustine. And then special thanks to Efsin as well, who joined us, Billy Shen, and then Andrews, who was with the production team. My name is Arir Kwampo for the week. We'll be back again next week to dissect more issues as they do come along. Remember, by then, the Black Stars would have faced Sudan. The match takes place on Thursday, October 10th at the Accra Sports Stadium. And so do ensure to get your tickets and then support the national team. My name is Arir Kwampofo. That's how we wrap up Sports Ultras here. We'll be back again next week, Sunday.